Lowe's helps refresh your garden in time for Mother's Day. Right now, get 5 bags of 1.5 cubic foot Scotts Naturescapes mulch for just $10. Plus, select 1.5 gallon annuals hanging baskets make the perfect gift. Now 2 for only $15. The best garden starts with great deals. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 5/7. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, discount taken at time of purchase.
Parents of tweens, if you're familiar with far-off drop-offs...
Dad, stop, right here.
Or get DMs about what's for dinner, you may be experiencing tween milestones. For your son or daughter, these can start at age 9. HPV vaccination, a type of cancer prevention against certain HPV-related cancers, can start then too.
For most, HPV clears on its own. But for those who don't clear the virus, it can cause certain cancers later in life.
Embrace this phase. Help protect them in the next.
Ask their doctor today about HPV vaccination. Brought to you by Merck.
Now it's time for this.
News Talk's Executive Chair.
And I'm delighted to welcome to the Executive Chair this week, Ashley MacDonald. She's the founder of Ireland Fashion Week and Tech Powered Luxury. Ashley, you're very welcome to the programme.
Bobby, thank you for having me.
Now, you've had a very interesting background. Born in New York, primary school in Ireland, university largely in France. So tell us a little bit about you and your early years.
Well, I guess my parents are very, very entrepreneurial. My mum went to university in the USA and my parents ultimately ended up living and working in New York for many years. So that's why myself and one of my brothers were born there. And I guess having a taste for a big city from a very early age kind of shaped my vision on things, and also growing up in a very entrepreneurial family.
Yeah, great. But
then we moved back to Ireland, grew up in Galway, and I had a big love for fashion, like many people. But I think growing up with the people around me who showed that anything is really possible, anything I felt my parents set their minds to, my grandparents, even great-grandparents, they went for it. And my dream was to go work for Christian Dior in Paris. And I kind of reverse engineered it. I looked at the people who work in the business of LVMH Group, who owns Dior, and across these other brands, and looked at where they studied, realized it was all kind of coming from one business school in France, HEC Paris. And it took me a few years, but I arrived my first week. HR from Dior felt like they were waiting for me there, and they hired me a year later.
It is. It's very interesting that you had a kind of a calculated plan. You knew who you wanted to work for, and you worked out a route to get in there.
Yeah, I think... Yeah. It's a good way of doing things.
Yeah,
it makes
sure
life a lot easier.
Sure it is. Yeah, absolutely. I think, and tell us about LVMH and working. You started there in there as a graduate. Was it a place that they, you know, was it a place of opportunity?
Oh, absolutely. So I did my, what you call, end of studies internship at LVMH Group. So when you do a master's program, or any program really in France through university or third level business schools, you have to do internships. And this was the big bonus for me in comparison to everyone back home in Ireland. I guess every summer I wasn't getting to do J1s and whatnot. I was over doing internships in France, but learning every minute. So when I arrived at LVMH, I had 3 internships under my belt. You can't get in if you've not got experience already. And I was literally in their headquarters in Paris in the same building as Bernard Arnault. I got to be in the same room as him many times. And our chief digital officer at the time was an American man, Ian Rogers, who had headed up music for Apple. So having these visionaries in the room that I got to learn from, it really gave me a fantastic foundation.
Yeah. You mentioned the importance of education, qualification. You did 2 masters. You had a clear plan worked out. What about the importance of speaking another language? That's, again, I know you speak French fluently. You've got a bit of Gaelga in there somewhere. But has that been an asset to you along the way?
Absolutely. That was one of the things I realized when I was 16 years old and I said, okay, I'm going to have to move to Paris, learn French. If I want to join these groups, it makes sense to go to the global headquarters. If you go to the UK, which would be an easier route, or even to the USA, I have the passport, I'd be in what's called a market. I wouldn't be in a global role. So actually, I Googled French exchange, headed off to France. My parents thought the school organized it. My school thought my parents organized it. Luckily, all was fine. Had a great time. Came back a month later, a lot more fluent in French. And from there, basically, it took off. And I studied through French in France, actually.
Yeah.
So the first semester was a bit challenging, but by the end I wrote my thesis in French and all was fine. And yeah, for over 10 years now, I've worked primarily in French.
Yeah, wow, that's amazing. Your move from LVMH to Google, tell us about that. And tell us about your role in Google, responsible for the Global Luxury Account, yeah?
Yeah, so it was a bit of a controversial move for my friends at Dior. They were like, why would you leave LVMH? Why would you leave Dior? Especially because it had been the dream. But I guess I'd had an incredible, you know, 3 years at Dior. I was traveling the world, setting up e-commerce and e-business for the travel retail division. And after 3 years, I'd kind of done everything. You know, we'd exceeded 100 million euro in sales a year online just for this travel retail division, having started with zero. I was 26 years old and I said, right, I've got a lot more in me. And it was actually on the advice of someone from LVMH. They said, if you want to be really strong and everything to do with luxury and technology, you have to go work in tech. So finally came back to Ireland for 2 years and I joined Google, and I was very fortunate to be in the luxury team and to manage the LVMH portfolio. I was just on the other side selling ads to my old colleagues.
Yeah, so but it kept you in the you know, the high value brand space. It although albeit doing a different role. Then your move to PUIG. Tell us about that.
Yes, PUIG, Pooch. No one knows how to say it or spell it. It's a Catalan, so they're a family from Barcelona, an incredibly entrepreneurial family, over 100 years in business. So it's the third generation that's running the company now. Over 12,500 employees in this business. So it's one of the biggest luxury conglomerates in the world. And
wow,
a lot of people, yeah, are not really aware of that. I wasn't really either, even coming from LVMH, because they are the mammoth of the industry. And Pooch went public last year, so there is a big acceleration right now. But they're a beautiful group. As I said, they're headquartered in Barcelona, but they have a big office in Paris, which is...
Yeah. How many people do they employ?
Over 12,500 people.
Wow, wow.
Yeah.
So what was your role there?
So digital director. Again, yeah. I started actually in the office in Geneva in Switzerland. They have an international holding there. And I was creating and implementing the digital strategy primarily for travel retail across fashion and beauty. So they own incredible brands like Charlotte Tilbury, Paco Rabanne, Jean-Paul Gaultier, recently acquired by Rideau, and Dr. Barbara Sturm. So very much solidified within the perfume space. So everything fragrance, especially niche and high-end fragrances,
yeah,
but also fashion. So in general, they will own also the fashion house.
What's your take, Ashley, on high-value brand fashion today? How it's sold... again, we look at things like, you know, online, obviously, but personal shopping seems to be coming to the fore. Is the way brands like high value luxury accessories, dresses, gowns, bags, all the accessories, is the way they're being sold changing?
It's definitely changing, but I think the biggest change has been in the way people discover and the way people actually research what they're going to buy.
Okay.
So now in the luxury space, we estimate that around 99% of luxury purchases are impacted by digital. And the more expensive the item, the more digital touch points you have before purchase, which makes sense.
Yeah.
But when it comes to the actual sale, brick and mortar is still incredibly important. Like retail, I think, will always prevail when it comes to luxury. People want to have that experience. It's not just about security or will it make it to me if I ordered online. It's not about convenience. It's actually about that experience and service level.
And does that mean that retailers have to up their game in that area?
I encourage everyone, if they want to do anything within the retail space, do what I call a retail safari, go to Paris, walk down Avenue Montaigne, go into the couple of stores, see what the level of experience is. Because especially when Irish brands, you know, Irish homegrown brands, if they're trying to compete in terms of price point, there isn't a huge difference.
Yeah.
A premium Irish sweater compared to one that you might get at Dior. But the experience that you're going to have at Dior is going to be incredibly different. So we actually are competing for the same customer. At least they have the same price bracket in terms of what they're willing to spend. And if they've had that experience at Dior, they need to be able to have an incredible experience if they're actually buying something here in Ireland as well.
Is there any concerns, I suppose, for the industry around retaining that high value on bags and all that? It seems to be endless. And people even trading them, you know, buying a bag for 2 grand and selling it 2 years later for 4.
You'd be lucky to get a good one for 2 grand these days. I mean, it's incredible. I was very lucky to have Vincent Bastien as my professor when I was at HEC Paris, and he had been the CEO of Louis Vuitton and of Cartier and a couple of other brands. So he's well retired now, but before completely retiring, he gave a couple of years of his life to teaching people like me about the luxury strategy. He literally wrote the book, by the way, The Luxury Strategy.
Yeah.
And one of his kind of rules is increase the price every year. And
is that
it's
right?
Just part of the playbook, yeah.
So if the price is going up, it inadvertently creates more demand.
Absolutely. And look at Hermes, look at Chanel, even Louis Vuitton with their bags right now. It's exactly what's happening every single year. It's like looking at it, it's an entirely, you know, separate space from the stock exchange because a lot of these companies are public. But look at the price of their bags. They're just going up and up and they're being traded.
Well, as someone who lives in a house with five girls, I know all about it, but there you go. That's the downside. Tell us about what's next then for Ashley McDonald. Tell us about Ireland Fashion Week. That's what you're immersed in at the moment. What's the next chapter going to bring?
It's a very exciting one. So Ireland Fashion Week, it's the inaugural nationwide fashion week for the country. Everyone's been asking me, you know, why now and why hasn't it happened before? There have been incredible initiatives previously and there are amazing initiatives here, especially in Dublin actually, but there's nothing nationwide and nothing that's producing shows to the standard of the international fashion weeks like Paris, Milan, New York. We will get there. We have over €1 million in funding for this first Ireland Fashion Week and I think we're exceeding it every day because we're getting so many new partners on board. So we have 7 shows open and up for grabs from designers. Everything from our graduate show where a graduate would have one look in a 40 look show all the way up to our flagship solo shows where it'd be full production and, you know, 40 looks in the room.
And where will this all be happening?
All over the country. So the Monday and Friday of the week, so October 6th until 10th, will be in Dublin. So Dublin will be that anchor, especially because we have a lot of international media and press flying in. But Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday will be regional.
So you see Ireland Fashion Week being up there with Milan, Paris, it'll get there, yeah?
It will get there. It's going to take a couple of years. You know, Copenhagen Fashion Week is really buzzy right now. They actually started 10 years ago, but because we're putting such a cash injection into this and really incubating the brands, you know, the selected brands are getting brand days. We're bringing them in and giving them the best access, tools and people, giving mini masterclasses on everything from e-commerce and social media to trade marketing and intellectual property. So by the time we get to October, these brands are ready to hit the ground running and we're investing in them by giving them all the technological tools as well, you know, trend forecasting, sizing, everything they need. So there's no excuse. We're going to have, I think, a lot of exciting designers out of this.
Finally, something we didn't know about you. You're interested in travel. You've traveled to 15 countries, including Everest Base Camp and indeed Kilimanjaro, yeah?
Yeah, I got back from Kilimanjaro in February. I actually flew straight to Abu Dhabi where I was hosting a 300-person event with an Irish fashion show. It was probably a bit of a tight schedule on that particular day, but I think it's important to take time out, go off-grid.
Absolutely. Well, it's been a real pleasure to meet you, Ashley. That's Ashley McDonald there, the founder of Ireland Fashion Week and Tech Powered Luxury. Good to talk to you.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.
Parents of tweens, if you're familiar with far-off drop-offs...
Dad, stop, right here.
Or get DMs about what's for dinner, you may be experiencing tween milestones. For your son or daughter, these can start at age 9. HPV vaccination, a type of cancer prevention against certain HPV-related cancers, can start then too.
For most, HPV clears on its own. But for those who don't clear the virus, it can cause certain cancers later in life.
Embrace this phase. Help protect them in the next.
Ask their doctor today about HPV vaccination. Brought to you by Merck.